I want you to turn to 1 Samuel 27. I want to take a look at some things that are familiar and some things that are not. But even before that, I want to make a declaration. Because see, this is a house of vision. Not only going to be a house of vision, we're going to be a house of completion. Manifested vision. Manifested vision that comes forth. So I want each of you to receive that. The manifested vision to be a house of completion. Because each of you have a priesthood that you're operating out of. And it's time for you to be a house of completion. So that you see the vision, and not just the vision, but you see the destiny coming forth. So take it with me and just say, Father, I receive that spirit of completion. I receive the manifested destiny on me. Amen. See, this is a time where we need a specific word from God. And it's obvious to see that things are shifting in our economy, that things are shifting in our nation. And it's obvious to see those things. Whenever that's happening, it's time to hear a word. It's time to hear what God has to say. And then that's part of what this story is about right here. I'm going to show you how David operated in it and when he didn't. And those are the things we want to take a look at. 1 Samuel 27, verse 1. And David said to himself, right there, that tells you we're in trouble. He said to himself. Now, who's giving David guidance? David's taking his own. He's taking his own guidance right here. He said, now I will perish one day by the hand of Saul. There's nothing better for me than to escape into the land of the Philistines. Then Saul will despair of searching for me anymore in the territory of Israel, and I will escape from his hand. See, he perceived a problem. And then out of his intellect and out of his experiences, he came up with a solution. That's not all bad, but at the same time, it's not God. So David, verse 2, rose and crossed over, he and the 600 men who were with him, to Achish, the son of Maok, king of Gath. We're about to learn about Ziklag, because Ziklag was a moment of crisis, and yet a moment of destiny. See, Ziklag was the place where a boy warrior became a king. But the question is, how did we wind up in Ziklag? How did we come to this place of tragedy and triumph? How did we get into this atmosphere that was around this place called Ziklag? How did he overcome? Those are the things that I want you to see today. And so David lived with Achish at Gath, he and his men, each with a household, even David and his two wives. And I will skip all the rest of that. Now it was told to Saul that David had fled to Gath, so he no longer searched for him. Then David said to Achish, if I have now found favor in your sight, let them give me a place in one of the cities in the country that I may live there. Why should your servant live in the royal city with you? So Achish gave him Ziklag that day. Therefore, Ziklag has belonged to the kings of Judah ever since. Now see, there's something you need to understand here. See, Achish was a king in where? And where is the king in Gath? What is Gath? Gath is where the giants, where the Philistines are. And specifically the Philistine called Goliath. And he settles in this place called Gath. And you have to wonder, why did he settle there? Because he settled there because he knew that Saul would not pursue him there. And yet he knew, because of his previous actions, he would have respect. Out of what I can plan in my head, this seems to be the best plan that I can have. But see, there's something you need to know. Achish, his name literally means just a man. Just a man. See, what he did when he moved himself into Gath, and when he moved himself and he came into Ziklag, he was covering under the covering of just a man. He came under the covering, basically, of the world system. He came into a wrong government because it was just a man's government. It was just a man who was over him. And you see, what we did there, basically, he came into an alignment with the enemy. How many of us have unwittingly come into alignment with an enemy? You know, when we begin to speak negatively about our brother and sister, what are we doing? We're coming into alignment with the enemy. When we begin to doubt what God can do, we're coming into alignment with the enemy. And this is what he did. He placed himself underneath this covering. Now, it appears that things rocked along for a little while, but he's still under the wrong covering. Whenever we get these things that are our own preconceived ideas, our own preconceived way out, see, we're always looking for a plan B. God wants you to have plan A being him, and then forget plan B, C, D. I have plan A. Work plan A until it succeeds. But what he was wanting to do was he had his own preconceived ideas about how he could rescue himself rather than stopping to ask the Lord what was his plan. You see, nowhere in here did he say anything about, I asked God and he said. I want you to turn to 1 Samuel 30. Along the way to getting to this place that we're about to read of in Ziklag, David had taken his services, and as he worked and served the king, he basically went and made raids in other territories, but he wiped everybody out so there was no one to tell where he was at. So as he would go, and then he would come back, and he would show the spoils to Achish, and Achish would ask him, where have you been? And he would begin to tell him, thus and thus over in Judah. Thus and thus over with the Jezreelites. Everywhere that would give him reason to believe that he had made himself totally odious unto Saul. The whole point of it was he was being deceptive, but at the same time, what he was doing was continuing to show to Achish his loyalty by deception. When the whole land of the Philistines go into war with Israel, the other Philistine captains looked at him back there in the back of the ranks and said, he ain't going to be behind me. Regardless of what you think is going on, he's not going to be behind me. And so that's how he came to be back at Ziklag while the Philistines were actually out at war. 30 verse 1. And it happened when David and his men came to Ziklag on the third day. On the third day. That the Amalekites had made a raid on the Gibe and on Ziklag and had overthrown Ziklag and burned it with fire. And they took captive the women and all who were in it, great and small, without killing anyone, and carried them off and went their way. When David and his men came to the city, and behold, it was burned with fire, and their wives and their children, sons and daughters had been taken captive. See, now we have a crisis. Now all the things that we've been doing, suddenly they don't work. The preconceived ideas about what was an adequate covering suddenly is being exposed. When God begins to pull the covers back, when we were talking about revelation earlier, do you know what that means? It means to take the lid off. To take the lid off. God begins to pull the covers back to say, okay, well, here's what's back here. You've been seeing this as your covering, but I'm about to show you what happens. We see what happens. The city was burned. There are some times that our old, what is happening behind us, the things that we've trusted in, the thing that was our preconceived ideas, it was our safety net, is no longer a viable option. God has to burn it in order for you to move on. He has to burn that thing that you've relied in that was not God. That covering that was not God. It was a covering that was not His order and His way. And He has to pull that thing out from under you and burn it. So you'll move on. He'd been operating out of the wrong kingdom. He'd been serving the wrong kingdom. It doesn't mean that he'd gone away from God, but it means he was operating in the wrong way. I know that there have been times in my own life that I could see that I had operated under a misconception and therefore operated in the wrong kingdom. It didn't have anything to do with my faith in God, but it had to do with the fact that I was not listening and therefore went in the wrong direction. Do you realize that when you're in pursuit of something, every time you take a step that's not in the direction of what you're pursuing, you're making the journey twice as long? In other words, if over there is my destiny and over here is my steps, I'm now every step that I take, I'm furthering the distance to my goal. Sometimes we're doing that. It was a wrong alignment. So God began to lift the covering to show him where his alignment really was. Verse 4. And then David and the people who were with him lifted their voices and wept until there was no more strength to weep. You know what is interesting here to me? Is he grieved and then he moved on. He grieved and then he moved on. What he didn't do was throw a pity party. What he didn't do was begin to blame and indict God. He didn't start going, why God, why? You know, last Sunday I talked about Joshua and how Joshua, when things went down at Ai and everything failed, the Joshua, his very first response was, why God, why? And how is this going to look when we have to go back to Egypt? God's not calling you back to Egypt. God's not the cause of your problem. Why is that the first response? This the other day, I dealt with a person whose first response to a failure in their life was why? Why God? God had nothing to do with these things. We have to realize that our indictments of him, that's when we are placing ourselves even further in the enemy's camp. As we begin to indict God, then we're giving the enemy every tool that he needs to keep us captive. I mean, only with the enemy can he tempt you to do something, get you to do it, condemn you for doing it, and then take advantage of it by telling you to blame God for it. And yet he does it all the time and we keep falling for it. Hello? He kept his heart pure. This is a horrible situation, but he kept his heart pure. We know that because what he's fixing to do. Now, verse 5. Now, David's two wives had been taken captive, Ahinoam, the Jezreelitess, and Abigail, the widow of Nabal. Moreover, David was greatly distressed because the people spoke of stoning him. I think I would be distressed too. For all the people were embittered, each one because his sons and daughters. But David strengthened himself in the Lord his God. He strengthened himself in the Lord his God. You know, we're about to see two steps right here. Two steps to restoration. Step number one, he strengthened himself in the Lord his God. He began to remember the good things. He began to remember the lion and the bear. He began to remember the victories that God had placed before him. He began to remember what all God had meant to him and had done for him. He began to take a look at the good things. Do you realize, what have we talked about for 3 weeks, 4 weeks now? Out of Philemon, verse 6. That faith becomes effective by the acknowledging of every good thing. When he's sitting here strengthening himself in the Lord, he is doing what we're doing. When we're beginning to acknowledge the Holy Spirit, when we're beginning to acknowledge who God is in our life, when we're beginning to acknowledge what the Word is doing and what the promise is doing in our life, we are doing the same thing. We're taking and encouraging ourselves in the Lord. It's the same thing. Because you're remembering the good things. You're taking and keeping your eye on the good things. By the acknowledging, I spoke real briefly Friday night about this place that's been happening within me as I've acknowledged who God is, as I've been working the process of acknowledging the Holy Ghost and acknowledging God. And I found this thing that this had come alive in me, this place called revival. Because it's in life in my heart. And I found that the Lord draws even closer as I begin to hold this thing in my heart and to say, God, I don't even understand what all is happening, but Lord, your word says, your word is, you are. As I begin to look to him and declare who he is, that he's my rock and my salvation, and that he's rising up within me, that his Holy Spirit is dwelling within me constantly, that he would not leave me as an orphan. That means that I have a parent. That means I have someone who's looking after me. That means I have someone, his job is to make sure that I get where I'm going. And out of this place, I found a place where it's good enough, it's alive enough that I can realize it's safe to come out and believe. It's safe to come out and believe that God has changed, going to change and transform not only me, but the world around me as I speak his word, as I release his healing, as I release his heart towards everybody around me. I can see and expect that God's going to make a difference. That I can see the deliverance happening. That I can see wholeness taking shape. When God puts these things in you in a seed form, he expects us to water it. And that's what we're doing when we begin to acknowledge the word, when we begin to acknowledge this place within him, when we begin to call upon him and encourage ourselves in God, we are watering that word. We're watering that promise. And as you water the promise, something takes shape in you. Something begins to come alive in you that maybe you had stopped believing in for a little while, but now is beginning alive again. You know, when you seek after him hard with everything you got, sometimes you can get to a place of disappointed faith. But you don't have to stay there. You don't have to stay in hope deferred. You don't have to stay there. You can make a choice. You can get up again. It's all about getting up again. It's all about getting up again. No matter how many times you get knocked down, get back up. Get you the Rocky film out. Begin to call upon God. Because God wants us to get back up. God wants us to plug back in and believe again. Whatever it is. Whatever area he's called you to. We have many callings in this house. As an apostolic house, there are many things that are available to you in this place. If you're moving in the prophetic, it's available to you. If you're moving in the evangelistic, it's available to you. If you're moving in the pastoral, it's available to you. If you're moving in helps and governments, it's available to you. Philippians 4:8 tells us that whatever is true, honorable, right, good report, excellent, worthy of praise, let your mind dwell on these. Let your mind dwell on these. Whatever's of a good report. Whatever's excellent. It's saying the same thing in Philemon 6. Whatever's of good report. You know, I have a dear friend of mine, and this is not anybody that's in this congregation, doesn't even go to this church, but he's going through a divorce. And he's consumed with it. And I understand, a divorce is a hard thing. But you can't allow anything that access of 24/7 focus in your life. Because see, what he's looking at is nothing but this problem, and he keeps turning it over and over and over. He doesn't sleep at night because he's turning it over and over and over. And all he sees is this problem. And it doesn't matter whether your problem is that divorce or something else. It's all the same. When you begin to let something take a hold of your thought process that way, and it's not something good, it's going to drag you down. And it's going to take you in somewhere you didn't intend to go, and it's going to get you off the track and off the path that God has put in front of you. You've got to make a stop. You've got to get off the merry-go-round. You have the power to do that. No matter what your circumstance, you have the power to look inside and begin to believe and begin to think of something other than those things. Begin to dwell on something that's good. When you're consumed with your problem, only thing you're going to do is move towards that problem. But if you're going to be consumed with your God, that's what I told him. If you would just be as consumed with God as you are with this problem, then the whole world would be on revival. We need to be consumed with God, and the problem will take care of itself. If he was consumed with God, the problem would be addressed, because that's what she's waiting for. We need to look. We need to think differently. Because see, you're in a place that's different. You're in a foreigner place, and it's different. It's not a pastoral-led congregation. It's different. But that's okay. Because it's within God's constraints. It's within. It's submitted unto him. It's his government. Thank you. 2 Corinthians 10:5 says, casting down everything that exalts itself against the knowledge of God. When we're acknowledging him, when we're acknowledging the good things, then we are casting down the other things, because you can't focus on both. Especially if you're a man. You can't focus on both. You can't focus on goodness of God and stay in deep down depression. It is not going to happen. So if you find yourself in a deep down depression, it's time to begin to look back to your source. Look back to the flowing river. You know, he calls himself the fountain of life for a reason. Because when you look upon him, it is a fountain of life. When you begin to stand in front of him and recall what he's done for you, it is a fountain of life, and it changes how you are. It changes how you think. And as you change how you think, you can begin to adjust your situation. Hallelujah. We got more than we bargained for. So he strengthened himself in the Lord. He strengthened himself, and as he found it, it was possible. It was possible to begin believing again. He strengthened himself and he found that, you know, I have the will to go on. These men want to stone me. My family already been taken off. But I have the will to go on. Verse 7. Then David said to Abiathar the priest, the son of Ahimelech, "Priest, bring the ephod." So Abiathar brought the ephod to David. Step number 2, right here. And David inquired of the Lord. He inquired of the Lord. Shall I pursue this man? Shall I overtake them? And he said to them, pursue, for you surely shall overtake, and you surely shall rescue all. He inquires of the Lord. He asks for the ephod. The ephod was their method of communication with the Father. See, he had opened up the channel because he had begun to encourage himself. He had begun to acknowledge the Lord. He began to encourage himself, and he opened up the channel and he said, now I'm ready. Now I'm ready. I'm in alignment. I'm ready to hear what you have to say, Lord. I'm ready to place myself in your government. I'm ready to place my trust in you, Lord. I'm ready to walk out from underneath this other covering that I've been hiding under, and I'm going to step into your government, God. I'm ready to come into this place, Father, and I'm finding alignment with you. He inquires. See, we can keep our heart clear, ready to receive. When we're consumed with our situations, it's really hard to receive. But when we begin to acknowledge God, we begin to acknowledge His truth. We begin to acknowledge His Word. When we begin to acknowledge His goodness. When we begin to acknowledge His love. All of a sudden, things are open. All of a sudden, we've unclogged. We've put ourselves in a place to hear. And brothers and sisters, it's time to hear God. It's an hour we need to hear God. We may not be in the same crisis. We may not have people literally fixing to stone us, but some of us are having financial stones thrown at us. Some of us are having emotional stones thrown at us. It's time to hear God. When we get to hear God, Now we can get in on his plan. It's not just our way, but it becomes Yahweh. We're going to get his instruction. We're going to step into this place of live instruction. Now it's going to come, and his word comes to him from this point forth. You'll see his word just comes to him in a continuous flow. Because he decided to get in alignment, to get back in the right government, to get out from underneath the man's government, and come into the place with God. And so they decided that they would follow this word. They got a word. How many people in here need a word? You need a word. I know you're hanging on to a word. But see, there sometimes you need a word to activate that promise. David had the promise. He knew what the promise was. He knew he was to be king. He needed the word to activate that. Sometimes we got to receive that word to activate it. And that's the instruction that takes you and sets you free. It's time to walk that out. It's time to listen. Now, as he begins to walk it out, see, we'll just read verse 9. He and the 600 men who were with him and came to the brook Besor, those who were left behind remained. But David pursued, he and 400, for 200 were too exhausted to cross the brook Besor. For remember, they had been out to battle, and then they come back, and then they find this big mess. 200 of them stayed behind. And now they found an Egyptian in the field and brought him to David. I won't read all of that. The Egyptian. They're out here. They have no GPS. They have no EWAC plane to fly over and to get reconnaissance of where these guys went. Which way are we heading? Where did they go? Now we see God begins to add himself. Because this Egyptian just falls into their hand. When you're going with God, then God begins to make things happen for you. He puts things in your path that will make it easier to get to where you're going. One of those things was called grace. He's going to put things in your path that will take you into your destiny. And so this Egyptian happened to be with the gang that had come through and wiped out Ziklag. And he begins to tell them about it and he tells them, I'll take you there. Because they fed him and took care of him. He said, I'll take you there. Just don't kill me. They get God's plan begins to come into effect on their behalf. His word comes into effect on their behalf. And there was a result, see. Verse 19. It says, but nothing of theirs was missing, whether small or great, sons or daughters, spoil, or anything that they had taken for themselves. David brought it all back. So David captured the sheep and the cattle, which the people drove ahead with the other livestock, and they said, this is David's spoil. Wow. In other words, against all odds, they were able to restore everything. You and I would think that was good enough. But there's more to the story. We can't stop just because we got restored. We can't stop just in the place of accepting just getting back to where we were. It's not good enough to get back to where I was when I was first born again. It's not good enough to stop along the way at some point in time that you thought was really cool. But it is important that we begin to understand our destiny. God's not wanting to leave you off at just barely enough. He wants to take you into abundantly above and beyond. He's not looking to get you back where you were. He wants to take you into destiny. He wants to get and bring you into the now. What's good for you now? In other words, yeah, there were certain things that were happening in my life when I first got born again that were awesome. But you know what? The thing he wants to do in my life now is even better if I will get on the plan with him. It's even more. So often we allow the enemy to keep us distracted from our true destiny. God's wanting to take you out of the covering of the world system. He's wanting to take you out from beneath the things that have held you in bondage. He wants to bring you into promotion. It's his design to instill promotion, to bring it and breed promotion within you. But Psalm 89:14 says that the throne is established in righteousness and justice. The throne is established in righteousness and justice. We're going to see what begins to happen and begins to unfold. Remember those guys that stayed behind with the baggage. Okay? Verse 23, David said, "You must not do so, my brothers," because they were talking about leaving them out of the spoils. All the worthless men wanted to leave them out of the spoils. David replies, "You must not do so, my brothers. What the Lord has given us, who has kept us and delivered into our hand the band that came against us. And who will listen to you in this matter? For as his share, who goes down to the battle, shall his share be who stays by the baggage. They shall all share alike." See, he begins to walk out justice. Look at it this way. Righteousness is the inworking of God in you. Justice is the outworking of God through you. And it takes both to be established on a true kingdom, to be a true king. There's an inworking of righteousness within your heart, and there's an outworking of justice of what comes out of you. And he begins to set up a system of justice. He defines the justice for these guys. It would have been easy to just accept what they want. It would have been easy to say, "Hey, all the spoil belongs to me, and none of you are getting any of it." Because they had already declared it was his. He could have made that, but instead he walked in justice. Further justice. See, they were used to going out and about, and they were going and they were hiding themselves in the places in Judah, in various cities. And he remembers this. And he says, "I'm going to do something. I'm going to begin to reward these." And so if you look at verse 26, when David came to Ziklag, he sent some of the spoil to the elders of Judah, to his friends, saying, "Behold, a gift for you from the spoil of the enemies of the Lord." And he sends a gift to 14 cities. And let's skip to verse 30, the very last, 31. "And into those who were in Hebron, and to all the places where David himself and his men were accustomed to go." He sent a gift. This gift was a preparation. See, it was supposed to be a reward. He intended it as a reward for the fact that they had not spied him out and told Saul where he was when he would come through their city, when he was doing the things of that David needed to do to survive. And he was sending him a gift. But this gift was also a gift of preparation. It was a gift of preparation because all those gifts went to all 14 cities. Every one of them was in Judah. Now, see what's fixing to happen. See, out of this, he's establishing justice with his men. He's establishing justice with those who have sheltered him. Remember the unrighteous steward in Luke 16 where he sent money ahead so that he would have somewhere to stay. He's establishing a pattern of justice. 2 Samuel 1, verse 2. And it happens. It happens when? On the third day. On the third day. We're entering into the third day. It's time to stand up and accept and really look for your third day. It's time to come up with resurrection life because it's a third day. It's the third day. "And behold, a man came out of the camp from Saul with his clothes torn and dust on his head. And it came about when he came to David, he fell to the ground and prostrated himself. For where do you come? I have escaped from the camp of Israel. How did things go? Please tell me." And he said to these, "The people have fled from the battle, and many of the people have fallen and are dead, and Saul and Jonathan, his son, are too." See, now, on the third day, he's already sent his offerings. But on the third day, he hears about King Saul. On the third day, he begins to speak, and then they begin to lament and grieve for Saul. David didn't take it lightly that the one who had been placed over him had been slain. Even though David knew what the promise was, he didn't rejoice. He grieved. But see, then we've got to move on. Because just like he did earlier, he knew what he had to go. He had to move towards the promise. Chapter 2. And it came about afterwards that David inquired of the Lord. It's getting to be a real habit now. He's inquiring of the Lord. What can I do? It's time to inquire of the Lord. Shall I go up? Where shall I go? And the answer was, to Hebron. The answer is to Hebron. The answer is to go to the place where kings are made. Go to the place. Go up to your destiny now. It's the third day. It's time to go up to your destiny. Yes, you've grieved Saul. Now it's time to step into destiny. It's time that you've come out from underneath the covering of the earth system. You've come out from under the old governments. But now you've stepped into and have started to operate in the place of the king. He started to operate in the place of the king. They, in fact, recognized this. Verse 4, then the men of Judah came and there anointed David king over the house of Judah. The completion. The completion. He remembered everything that had been going on before him, and he steps into the very activation of the promise. The completion. It's time for us to receive that completion. It's time for us to step into the kingly anointing, to not just act like it, but to begin to be it. Stepping into completion. And continued to operate in justice and righteousness throughout his kingship. It's one of the things that distinguished him from all the other kings that came after him, is that he established justice and righteousness for a lifetime. And it kept him close to the heart of God. It's time to be in, to encourage and acknowledge ourselves, to be in to inquire of the Lord, to remember these two simple things and come out of the bondage of the past, out of the bondage of what was never supposed to be a covering over us in the first place, and to begin to step into the newness of the kingship that God has promised. He's not looking to restore you. He wants to promote you. It's time that we don't stop till we see the promise. I encourage you tonight, stay with your vision. Stay with your vision until you see it come to pass. Don't allow the enemy to steal it. When he begins to convince you that you can't believe in it, he's already stolen it. Stay with the vision. Allow the vision to come to fruition. Be a land, a garden of fruition, completion and harvest. Hallelujah. Amen.
Man. Wow. Come on. Let's. Hallelujah. Woo. Man, that was awesome. That was awesome. I want to just to say a few words about that. I'll tell you, this is so prophetic for what's going on right now. Especially in our country, we put a lot of trust in the covering of man. People put a lot of trust in the political arena, and they're finding out that men do not have an answer for the problems that are plaguing this world and the nation. And what's happening is the foundations of men's trust are being burned now. We got to come out from the trust in man. It's easy to do. David did this because he had been suffering for 12 years. He was so tired. He went under the covering of ashes. The very enemy he defeated was Goliath of Gath. He went under the covering of ashes. It's easy to do when you get tired, but God said no, because he didn't inquire of the Lord. He just inquired of his own heart because he was tired. We had moved into covering a man at one time, and God said, this won't do. And the whole thing got burned down to the ground. And since that, we've been inquiring of the Lord. He said, this is where you're going. This is what I have. Took us into the right hand of God and then brought all of it into the realm of the heart. Isn't that amazing? And brought him in 3 days when that city was burned. 3 days later, he was led. Notice the Holy Spirit led him to Mount Hebron. Could have led him anywhere. Led him into the mountain of Abraham, Isaac, Jacob, Caleb. He said, this is the mountain of the kings. It's time to become a king. Out from under the covering of man. That's where God's leading the body of Christ. Out from under the covering of men. Leading them to the mountain of generational inheritance. Those that are led to that mountain. No matter what happens in the world. No matter what shakes. You will not be shaken. That mountain will release its government. It'll release its blessing. In a time when people are not getting blessed. You will be blessed. It is the mountain of the kingly anointing that proceeds the king priest government. That mountain's coming into the earth. I like what he said. Don't leave what God's called you to do. The enemy gets trying to get you removed. Joanne and I were having this very discussion of somebody she knows that's just a brilliant man, but he's all over the map. He's just everywhere. You can't be all over the map. You've got to sit down and say, this is it. I will not be moved. I will stand until I see the salvation of God. The what is in me is in the earth. That's required. Focus. The greatest attribute you can possess in the kingdom of God is focus. Because the enemy is going to take your focus and move it into his camp. Into the tree of knowledge of good and evil. Get you eaten from out here all the time. We focus into the kingdom of God. And we eat from the tree of life. We birth from that position.